All right, part 9 of the office of the prophet. Scripture Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his servant, or secret, sorry, his secret unto servants the prophets. Revealeth means to disclose. God tells his secrets to his prophets. Here's what a secret is: a session, a company of persons in close deliberation. By implication, intimacy, like a consultation, a secret or a secret counsel. So when I was reading that, I thought about, you know, God's counsel in heaven, and he speaks to his prophets and shares with them his secrets. He trusts them to do so. A prophet is sworn to secrecy until God gives them the go-ahead to release what he has given them. Sometimes people like it, sometimes people don't. I mean, we see a lot in the old, even in the new, those that were prophets and brought words that people didn't like, they try to push Jesus down a hill. Jesus was a prophet. They beat Paul up wherever he went. Old Testament, very common. They killed the prophets. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they killed the prophets. Oh, you know, if we'd have been alive in that day, we wouldn't have done it. Their fathers did it, and they were persecuting Jesus, just like their fathers persecuted the prophets. From all the weeks we've been looking into this, we see a pattern throughout the Old and New Testament of God disclosing to the prophets what's coming worldwide, nationwide, personally, and in the church. You know, prophets do. They advise the king. They advise the leader. They advise the body of Christ, warn them about things. They speak to people personally about personal things. That's what God is revealing. All right. It is a trust between God and his prophets. All right, I want to go to Deuteronomy 29. Verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, people, especially that we're learning, we've been learning for the last 7 or 8 years, about all the secrets that's been kept from us as a society, and people, the whole world has been duped with all these secrets and all these things that are going on. But the thing is, God sees everything. It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking for those whose heart is right towards him. He knows who's wicked and he knows who is not. There's nothing, well, the scripture says there's nothing that's been done in secret that won't be shouted from the housetops or come abroad. In other words, it's going to be aired for everybody to hear and see everything that's not under the blood. Now, if we've done things in our life and we have repented of those things, the blood covers that. But for these people that have done these things in secret and think they got away with it because they were however many miles underground, no, not for a minute. Not one single little life. God sees it all. All right. And he can tell one of his prophets at any time he wants to. All right. Wouldn't surprise me. And all of this excavation and going in and cleaning out these bunkers, that they didn't have some prophets saying, thus saith the Lord, where they are heading, what are they doing. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Just people behind the scenes that we don't know about. There's a bunch of them I've heard. All right, secret just means hidden. Here's an Old Testament example of this. This is Daniel chapter 2. All right, there you are. You You could say Daniel chapter 2 is the history of the world revealed in a nutshell. Right here. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. I'm reading through the book of Jasher right now, and it talks about Joseph. You know, it's kind of cut and dried in the King James, or in all the versions, about him standing before Pharaoh and interpreting the dreams. Well, the thing was, he had every kind of interpretation under the sun come before him, before Joseph did. And he recognized that was God. All the others made up the most outlandish stuff to what that meant, the seven, you know, lean and fat, all that. Took a prophet of God to bring the truth. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Same thing was going on with Pharaoh. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things that at any magician or an astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other than can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the God, name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. See, the prophets are not just making up this stuff. They are hearing from God. Or they're supposed to be. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. You think you're going to hide what you're doing from God? Think again. Ain't happening. I thank thee and praise thee, O Lord God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which your king hath demanded Cannot the wise men, the astrologers, magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. That's today. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, my thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes it shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay, of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which is Jesus, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image, it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is a dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. As the iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Who are they talking about here? Talking about a seed war? But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Millennial reign, huh? And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms that shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. That's quite a revelation, isn't it? Yeah. History of the world in a nutshell right there. People think, you know, they've got it all together, but I'm telling you what, the simplicity of the Word of God says it all. All right, let's keep going here. Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Nothing can stop what is coming. It's already been set. God said it. Uh-huh. They say that General Flynn knows where all the bodies are buried. That's why they've tried to take him out so much. Well, I'm telling you, God is the only one that knows where all the bodies are buried. Yeah. All right. All right, Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Boy, we're a privileged group, aren't we? We're getting to see it all come down. What generations, even of Christians, had no inkling about. Prophets only know what God is, what He chooses to reveal to them. That by no means means that they know it all. I think people think sometimes that prophets are like fortune tellers. They're not. You know, they do. They think you ought to just be able to walk in a room and read somebody's mail. No, that's a fortune teller. It's different when somebody carries God's message as opposed to some trickery. So we got to be very careful about that, what people say. Make sure you weigh it against the Word of God. I told Danny this week, I said, I've heard several prophets, and they're big name prophets. They haven't got a clue what's going on in Israel. They don't have a clue. And I'm not talking these are little dogs. These are big dogs. And some of them have very accurate, they've been known for their very accurate prophecies. And I just think, Laura, I don't know what to think. I'm not here to correct anybody else. I just want to get it right. Yeah. See, the church is going to have to get it right. That's the age that we're coming into, the church that gets it right. I'm not faulting them. I'm not. It's a wonder we've done as well as we have, I guess, with the way things have become, with all the infiltration and all the stuff that's happened. All right. We prophesy in part and we know in part. That's a prime example. You can have a prophet that gives wonderful words and it's just very accurate, but they don't know part of it. So they can't prophesy with accuracy on that. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they don't know. That's what I mean. None of us know it all. There's probably things others know that I don't know. And when I hear it, it's foreign. Okay. All right, Proverbs 11:13. We're all trying to do the best we can, right? Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You don't tell God secrets. Not unless He releases you. He won't entrust you with them if you do. I know there's times I've said things way back because I didn't understand. But the thing is, you don't reveal that until He says reveal it. And there's many things that I will never be able to say, ever. Sometimes the Lord just shows you something and He expects you to keep it in His confidence because you're part of His counsel. So watch that. It's not going to help anybody for you to, oh, I got a revelation from God. You know, there's always those kind of people, you know. But God can't entrust those kind of people. It's not about them and anything they do. They're not anything special. God's just chosen them for a purpose, maybe because He knows they'll keep their mouth shut. Could be. All right, Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddleth not with him that flattereth with his lips. If a prophet reveals the secret things before God's time, God will not be able to trust them in His secret counsel any longer. What God reveals to the prophet is for the ears of those that the Lord says are to hear them. We must be very careful about this. It is no one else's business. It is between the prophet and God and the person or persons who God is wanting the prophet to talk to. Loose lips sink ships. You can rip somebody up with a prophetic word and mess them all up. I know myself. Sometimes prophecies come forth and say a certain thing, and without understanding, you take it a wrong way, and you think it means one thing, and you find out later it didn't mean that, and you wasted all these years thinking a certain thing. I believe when you have a word like that, God will confirm it, right? It should be that way. It's terrible that we have to do that, but that's the way it is. The prophet is the keeper of God's secrets. In the church, there's accountability among the prophets. All right, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you don't cast your pearl before swine. I'll just tell you that because I have. And you know what? You get rend when you do. Because the person doesn't have an understanding to receive it, even though you may really have a word of God, that's why you have to wait on it being released. Anytime from now on, when someone asks me to pray and I have a word and they don't like it, they don't like how it's delivered, they don't like what's said, this is what I have to say. Tough. That's all I know to say. If you ask me to pray and God gives me this, then you should expect to hear the results. I'm going to do that. I'm going to warn. Listen, if you ask me to pray, if I get something you don't like, you're not going to flog me like an old sitting hen. Same way with y'all. When people ask you to pray, you say, what if it's something you don't want to hear? You think prophets are just here to give thus saith the Lord, blessings and money and, it don't work that way. I'd say more times than not, the prophets are there to say, you better get your house in gear. You better change that. Isn't that kind of the way prophets are? The ones I've seen, Old Testament ones for sure. Warnings about things. Bridge out ahead. Bridge out ahead. Get your house in order. Wake up. Don't fall in off the bridge or whatever. That's what God does. He warns his prophets of what's coming. That's why they kill the prophets, because they'd kill the prophet for what the prophet said, but it wasn't what the prophet said. It was what God said. So actually, they were murderous towards God. Ugh, that's strong, isn't it? As his representative. People think, oh, to be a prophet. I think, you know, it's a serious matter. It is not to be taken lightly. It's like the office of apostle. It is not to be taken seriously because there's a big responsibility and a lot of stuff that goes with it that ain't fun. That's difficult. So you got to be really strong. And God has to let you go through the fire. You understand? For both. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let him speak by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and unto God. Let the prophet speak two or three. Now we're, you know, what we come up in, there wasn't really anybody that we knew were prophets. These were just people that just really had the gift of prophecy, you know, come. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So he's talking about any of these gifts, they are subject to the person that's bringing them. You don't have to give it. It's kind of like when you speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues at will, right? You can stop it when you want. It isn't some thing that comes over you and you go wild. That's more like the devil, you know, like a lunatic where you can't shut somebody up. No. There's self-control involved. The fruit of the Spirit operate in these gifts and these ministry gifts. All right. Let's keep going here. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Right here, Ephesians 2. Not just the apostle, but the prophet. You ought to know this as long as I taught on the other. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. They're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. As God in this hour is raising up the apostle and the prophet back into the church, you're going to see a different church. All right, Ephesians 3, start with verse 1 there. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, hath by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Isn't it just like God to choose a Pharisee of the Pharisees to be the one to bring this mystery? The one that says there is no more Jew or Greek, you know, no more male or female in the body of Christ. That Israel's not Israel, like you think and how you've taught and how you've known. That the true Israel is the church, and they're comprised of Jews and Gentiles. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Why does nobody get it? Where have the apostles and prophets been? Non-existent. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I mean, this man was steeped in Judaism. And God gave him this revelation, this mystery, this secret. It had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right, Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of in Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He don't want a Toys R Us church. We are warriors, are us church, all right? A mature church, a unified church that moves as a body. It's like it talks about in 1 Corinthians, a body. Yeah, we are his body. All right, moving like a body moves. True prophets leave a legacy. This is 2 Peter 3:2. knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Am I got that right? Wait a minute. I read 3. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. If you look through the 4 Gospels, you will see these references of true prophets and their disclosures from God. One last thing here. Matthew 10:41. I have a couple of scriptures and we'll be done. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Reward means pay for services. And I'm going to read you a story and we're going to be finished. 2 Kings chapter 4. This is the best example that I could find of the prophet's reward. All right, just one example. There's a couple examples, but we'll just read this one. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. He's the one that hid all the prophets in the cave while Jezebel was trying to hunt them down and kill them. He fed them with his own money and sustained them. My husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The other story I won't read tonight, and it's common, it's the one where Elisha, this woman provided a place for him on her roof or something, where he had a table and a bed and a candle. And so it came to pass, that one day, he asked Gehazi, I wonder what we can do for that Shunammite, for what she's done for us. He said, her husband's old and she doesn't have any kids. So he tells her, you're going to have a son. Well, in the due time, she had a son. Well, when he's about 12 years old, he died. And what happened? She took him, or she went to get the man of God. He kept saying, what's wrong? Nothing. All's well. All's well. Anyway, long story short, he raised the little boy from the dead. There's the prophet's reward. Is it by the prophet's power? No. It's by God's power. All right.